So let's just turn to the Word. I have several scriptures. So I want to start in Isaiah 9:6, and that is a very familiar Christmas time. We always have this message from Isaiah that speaks of the coming child or the child who has come, the promised one. And I think it's appropriate this morning to start with this scripture. So for us, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Let me pray. Father God, we just pray this morning that you would speak to us as you would from your word, according to your heart, and Lord God, that each of us would receive exactly what you want us to receive this morning. We pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us, reveal to us, let your word come alive to us. And we pray, God, that it will not return void, it will bear forth fruit, and it will do something in us, forming us to be your people. And Lord God, we pray this morning that each of us can experience your wonderful, awesome, abiding, everlasting peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is peace? What do you know peace to be when you think about it? A lot of people would explain peace as probably the absence of conflict, like not having arguments or conflict with other people, not being in disagreements. That would certainly be one understanding. Some would say it's a state of calmness or restfulness, where you can just sit down and everything's quiet, everything's still. We can all sing Silent Night, just really quiet and still. Some might say that it's no longer having anything to stress about, right? Nothing to stress about, nothing to worry about, just stress-free living. Well, that'd be nice if we could have some stress-free living. But if we look around today, we probably understand that we live at a time where a whole lot of people lack peace. You've probably very much experienced it yourself, and you know what not having peace is like because you felt that, where it feels like you have no peace and you're looking for peace. Sometimes it seems it's fleeting. And we know that it seems like in the world, even as rich and abundant as we have today, especially in our society, in Western society, that there's a whole lot of people who just really lack peace, and as they're living their life, there's a restlessness and an unhappiness, a lack of joy, and they just don't seem to have a level of peace in their hearts. And people do all kinds of things to find peace. It's interesting. We can look around in the world today and see there's wars and there's conflicts all over. So certainly we see that there's lacking peace, and we see that people have lots of conflicts in their home and their families, and families are splitting up and going here and going there, and it seems like it's hard to have peace in the home. So a lot of times it just seems to be hard to have peace in the home. And then if you look at people individually, people often have conflict within themselves. So the lack of peace is not necessarily with this person or that person. It's just simply a lack of peace within themselves. There's conflict going on the inside. And I think we all could resonate what that's like to have a lack of peace on the inside of us. So there's a whole lot of peacelessness, if that's even a word, lack of peace going on out there in the world. Well, the Bible talks a lot about peace. In fact, if you look references in the Bible, there's well over 200 references. There's 92 alone in the New Testament that speaks of peace. It was very important. It was very significant. It was spoken of often. It was very important to God. And the Bible speaks to us about what peace is. You know, peace is not just the lack of something, okay, or the absence of problems. In fact, I don't know anybody who doesn't have problems. Do you know anybody who doesn't have problems? Maybe you let me know. Maybe they'll set a record, a Guinness World Record or whatever, of the person who has no problems. But it seems like people do. It seems like we do. We can't live absence of problems. So peace is not the absence of something, but instead it's really something quite tangible. It's something that you can experience. It's something that we can have on the inside of us. Okay? Scripture puts a very high value on this peace, this kind of peace, and it lets us know that it's extremely important for all of us to have, and it lets us know that it's available to all of us, each one of us. So if we don't have it, it's available to us. We can have it. And it may be not as far removed as sometimes we might think. Closer than we think. The Greek word for peace is eirene, okay, which is very similar to the Hebrew word shalom, which is peace in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew. So it's very similar, and it has the connotation of, well, peace and harmony, okay, tranquility, and we understand that. It also has the connotation of safety and good welfare, health. And it oftentimes has an emphasis on the lack of strife or reconciliation in relationships, you know, where things are brought back into unity and brought back into wholeness. So there's this idea of wholeness and oneness, where things come together in a unifying way. And of course, it talks about peace with God. There's a oneness with God, and there's a unity with God where we have peace with God. And of course, we know that's what Christ made available to us first and foremost, is that we are no longer separated from God, but we have peace with Him. And just to make a note for some of us who don't know what this picture is all about, this was Shirley Cole's picture. Stayed with her in her room for months and months, many months, really, while she was in the home that was taking care of her. And this was always reminding of Shirley. This was back to her when she had a store. It was a Christian bookstore that she started and began. And this was one of those pictures she had from way back years ago, back in Blackstone, Virginia. And it always reminded her of her hope, the hope of the cross, the hope that bridged the chasm, that it would be Christ that would carry her across. And those were things that even in her last days were giving her peace. And it's the kind of peace that she was, even a testimony as we shared yesterday, it was a testimony for everybody who is here that she was sharing that she had that peace. She had that peace. She knew who her life belonged to. And she did not have to fear what was to come, but she could rejoice. Now, peace does talk about peace with God and peace with others and that tranquility, that peace within. And God provides that. He gives that. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. And God Himself is peace. In fact, we even see in the Old Testament, He's called the God of peace. Right? It refers to Him even as the God of Shalom. He is the God of Shalom. And so when we know God and we're coming into a relationship with God, there's an aspect of who He is that we should never miss. He doesn't want us to miss. And that's knowing peace. Now again, if we look in this world, we see that oftentimes the idea of peace in this world, and this world does have ideas of peace, it really does, but when we look at this world, the ideas of peace are oftentimes external, okay? You know, this world, we look at our circumstances, we look at what's on the outside of us, we look at things that are around us, and sometimes we see things that are not peaceful. And we can see others who seem to have better circumstances than we do, and that says, well, you know, they have peace because they have better circumstances. They have a better life. They have all this kind of stuff that maybe I don't have. But God doesn't want us to look at peace in that way. Sometimes we can get caught up in that, as the world does, talking about external matters. And of course, the world tries to take care of peace externally. And we'll talk about that. But I want to look first at John 14, verse 27. The words of Jesus to His disciples. Okay, and he's speaking to them, and this is before He's going to the cross, and he wants them to know these things. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I'm giving you peace." Understand, it is a peace that only God gives. It's not as the world gives. The world gives, again, peace externally, you know, but what God leaves behind is something so much different. Let's talk about the peace that God gives, what this peace is and what it's based upon, and how we have this peace. You know, first of all, we must recognize that Scripture calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. That was out of our Isaiah passage. He's the Prince, that's one of his titles. He's the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. It's in his very nature. And the Scripture even says that his rule will be a rule of peace. You know, the government will be on his shoulders. Jesus is also telling his followers that he is a giver. He's a giver of peace. Okay, not like this world. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. God is a God who comforts us, and God is a God who gives his Spirit to us, so his Spirit will live inside of us, giving us comfort. Now again, the world tries to do this externally. God gives his Spirit within us, but the world tries to do this externally. So how does the world get peace? Well, think about the things that you've done in life to get peace, you know? I'll drink this. This will give me peace. I'll take this pill. That will give me peace. I need a relationship to help calm the war that's going on in the inside of me. I'm going to buy this or buy that or have this or have that. It's all external, trying to change my external circumstances to give me something that I'm looking for, a peace that I desire, a comfort that I need. And so the world very much tries to solve things externally. It's the new job I need. It's the new situation, the new house. It's the new this. It's the new that. Always seeking and searching, but never truly finding the kind of peace that God gives us. It's temporary, and it does not last. But we know that we have the Spirit of God in us. You see, God wants to solve this peace issue that we have, and there's a major peace issue in the world today. He wants to solve it from the inside out, not the outside in. See, his way of doing things is much different than the world. And so he does give us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's our counselor, our comforter, our teacher, and much more. And the closeness of our relationship with God speaks to the peace that we have. Isaiah 26:3 says this. You have Isaiah 26. Okay, it says this. It says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Is your mind stayed on the Lord today? Is your mind focused upon him? Is he your all in all? Is he the lover of your soul? It says, when our mind is stayed on him, he works a perfect peace. Wouldn't you like to have perfect peace? Wouldn't we all like to have this perfected peace on the inside of us? We all would. We all would. Yet we do have struggles in life. Yet we do have things that try to disturb our peace, that try to take away our peace. Some seasons are more difficult than others that we face for whatever reason, that things are just coming at us and coming against us, and we don't know sometimes what's next. But how we live our lives is very important. And I think Jesus shows us this whole idea of living from the inside out is very important. Living from the inside out, that's what the Lord wants us to do. We learn how to do that. You know, we learn how to look to God, to look to God's Spirit in us for that peace. You know, we spend time with the Lord, staying in communion with him. This morning, I felt his peace. I felt his presence. It's so wonderful. Connecting with God, the Spirit of God in us. And when we get out of peace, sometimes we simply have to examine. We have to examine with God what's happening, what's going on in our lives. We know, if we walked in the Lord, we know that we can't just do the external things and be at peace. Like, for instance, if we feel like, you know, we just want to increase our bank account, that will give us peace. Well, that's good, that's nice, but that won't necessarily bring us peace. How much enough is enough? Having a perfect job or having everyone around us right, just acting right and living right. That's great. I mean, that's wonderful, but But it doesn't keep us really from having peace or even a bad doctor's report that we receive. You know, even then, we can have peace within us. No matter what we're facing or what we're dealing with, God said his peace is from the inside. It's not based on all the stuff around us, the external things that are happening. The peace comes from the inside. It comes from God. So we must look at our relationship with God and the kind of relationship we have. You know, it all goes back to, for to us a child is born. Again, back in that Isaiah passage. It all goes back to that because that was the promise. The promise we were given, the promise that came and was fulfilled and that we're celebrating. We're celebrating that in this Advent season, the waiting of the birth of Jesus. But Isaiah does speak of a son who will have governance, meaning he doesn't stay a baby. And in our own lives, Jesus should never stay a baby in our own Christian walk and the way we approach God. Because we know that the fulfillment of Jesus, the fulfillment of the promise of the coming child is fulfilled on the cross. Christ raising once again from the dead and then ascending into heaven and taking his rightful place on the throne where he sits now ruling and reigning. He is ruling and reigning and governance is upon his shoulders. He's fulfilling all of his titles of Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, Jesus' coming into this world, on one hand, was beautiful. We can imagine the manger, the baby, the child. But on the other hand, it was also tumultuous. Because the promise being fulfilled and the promise that was known, it brought great consternation to many people in this world. You know, we look at the baby Jesus, so precious, so sweet, so wonderful, easy to delight in, easy to love. But we see that when Jesus is, he's fulfilling his ministry, he's fulfilling his ultimate calling, he's actually ushering in a new paradigm, a new covenant. He is turning the tables, literally, he's turning the tables on the world, as he did in the temple. He's upsetting the whole order of things. And of course, for some people, that was messing everything up because he was changing things. You know, he established he radically was taking hold of this world because as he died on the cross, rose again, and was ascending into heaven, he was taking dominion. He was taking dominion over the heavens and the earth where he rules and reigns. So on one hand, yes, he does bring peace and his reign is peace. But on the other hand, he divides. Matthew 10:34. He says this. He says this much. And I won't touch the whole passage. I'll just this one verse. Jesus says, "Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword." And then he talks about how family members, one basically will be following Jesus, and the other one will be rejecting Jesus, and there will be conflict. There will be difficulty and harshness, and even you almost could say a war going on between those who will follow Jesus and those who reject Jesus. And so he speaks about that. But he speaks about to follow him is to take up the cross, to love him, is to go to give your life to him. So Jesus knows he's upsetting the whole order of things. He's messing it up. But what he's bringing true peace to a world that really does not know peace. He's making a way for all people to have peace. Though many reject him, many deny him, even they work to kill him. We see that. So when we look back to the baby Jesus, we see that he was not a king, not yet. So in fact, the king of the land was Herod. We remember that in the story, King Herod. And the time of the baby Jesus is, if we remember what happened, was when Herod was a wicked, evil man. You know, he was power hungry and paranoid. He killed his own sons who he thought were plotting against him. He was an evil man. And so how did he hold on to power? If fear on the inside led him to do things to control in even in desperate ways. Well, we also know that when he hears about this king, this baby, and then the wise men don't come back to tell him where he is, because the angel said, don't go back. He then takes it upon himself to kill the babies in Bethlehem. That was his rule and reign. But what does God say? God says, get out of there. Get out of there. Because in that day and time, they were under the rule of Herod. They were under his dominion. But you see, that's why we go back to looking at King Jesus, because King Jesus takes away that dominion. So we realize Jesus, they had to go to Egypt, right? They had to go to Egypt for a time until Herod was dead, until his dominion was over, and to come back into the land. So we see that and understand that. You know, baby Jesus is beautiful and wonderful, but he has to fulfill his calling, and that is to become the king. And that's how we need to know Jesus in this day, in this time, where things are unruly, where there's chaos, where there's lack of peace, where there's internally, whether it's with others, with all the things that are going on into this world. We must know the rule and reign of Christ, because it's now Christ who rules over kings like Herod and people like him all over this world. See how he is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And people like Herod have to bow down, whether they choose to or they don't. There's a day where everyone has to bow down before King Jesus. Now, God's ultimate purpose is to bring all of creation into right relationship with him. That's his ultimate purpose. We see that in Ephesians 1, 9 through 10. It says, God has now revealed to us his mystery, his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he'll bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Everything under the authority of Christ. This is why it matters. This is why we must know Jesus as King. And why also it's important for our peace. Christ's authority offers peace to everyone. You know, we may see again, even in this day and time, there's rebellion, right? That's not hard to see. There's rebellion going on in this world. There's usurpers that are busy even trying to overthrow God. Even now, there's agendas trying to overthrow God. And they've been working for many, many years. So we shouldn't be surprised to see an anti-God agenda, because they don't like King Jesus. They don't like the rule and reign of Christ, because it takes away their power and authority, that they are supposed to bend their knee to him. They don't like that. And so there's this war and conflict that will continue to go on until the end of things, until God brings all things under his authority, all things. So we will continue to see the wars and the conflict and the lack of peace and people doing crazy things, going mad, insane, literally. And people trying to fight against God. And it's shaking their fist at King Jesus, saying, you can't rule and reign over me. And yet they destroy themselves in doing that. But it's the world we live in. But we do not bow to that mindset. We do not bow to that thinking, that spirit that's in this world, in this age. We're free from that. We are all free. We're not to fear, and we're not helpless in the midst of all this chaos and this rebelling against God, against King Jesus. We know our peace comes from Christ. He rules and reigns on the throne, and we don't have to hide. It's not, okay, we'll just hide until the day Jesus comes. We don't have to hide. We should not be hiding. In fact, you know, Christ is the rightful ruler. We don't have to tremble at the devil, and we don't have to passively watch his agenda unfold. He's actually given us authority. So if we know Christ the King, then we know his authority, and we rightly align ourselves with him. We have authority in Christ to enact things even on this earth. We're not helpless, and we're not hopeless, for sure. And we can live in peace even when the world is not living in peace. Our authority comes from Jesus. He's the one who sets us free from the kingdom of darkness. We look at that Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." See, we're living in a, if we're rightly submitted to Christ, we're living in a different kingdom than what we see a lot out in this world. And it is his kingdom that is over all, because his kingship is over all. And it is based on our submission to God. You know, if we want the enemy to work in our lives, well, we just get away from our walk with God and start submitting to the things of this world and of the spirit of this world. And I think sometimes, even when Christians, when we live with anxiousness and fear, we live that way, we start living under the order of this world. And we don't want to live under the order of this world. We want to live under the order of God's kingdom. We want to be rightly aligned with him. And we don't have to live in fear and anxiety. Colossians 3:15 says this. It says, "What should rule in our hearts?" It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let his peace rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful." So literally, that could be translated, the rule could be translated as umpire. Let the peace of Christ call out things in your life. Let it rule over you, rule over your heart. And we should be, we actually should be guided by the peace of Christ. And when things go against the peace of Christ, and when we get sharper in our discernment by the Spirit of God, we discern the spirits that are in this world and of this world, we learn that there's some things like, well, no, I'm not going there. I'm not submitting to that. I'm not going to do that because that's not where I need to be. That's not under the right authority that I need to be under. And when we feel that peace will lead us. That peace of God will lead us and direct us and put us where we need to be. But the peace of God is always because we are aligned with him. We're under his authority, properly submitted. So all the stuff that happens on the inside of us, it's important to bring to God, to bring to his throne. And so sometimes when we, and worries come, but when we, and things come against us and circumstances happen, but we want to stay in peace. And we can stay in peace, even when things take place that want to create strife and difficulties and hardships, where we want to lose our peace because we're tempted to lose our peace. And by the way, our enemy's good at mental warfare. He practices that more than anything else. Mental warfare, because what he wants you to do is lose your peace. He wants you to get out of peace because that's where you get out of alignment with God. And you start aligning yourself with fear and doubt and worries. And oh, then he wants just to have a heyday in your life. It's mental warfare that sometimes comes against us. So you look at your own life and you ask, does the peace of Christ live in me? Do I walk by peace? Do I make decisions by the peace of Christ in me? Do I ever do things that counter that or go against that? And I wish I hadn't. When we don't have the peace of Christ, it's time for us to pray, to spend time with the Lord. And we have to look at our prayer life and how we bring things before God, how we bring ourselves before the Lord. If we look at Philippians 4:6-9, it gives us some prescription here. It gives us a prescription about our prayer life and our time before the Lord. It says this, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Anything. And that's anything. Don't be anxious, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Come before him. Come before his throne. Come before him. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, that's what our enemy doesn't want. He doesn't want you to be guarded. He doesn't want you to have that impenetrable force that he cannot work beyond, because he knows if you're walking in the peace of God, you're walking strong in the Lord. So he wants you to lose that. But no, we're to have a peace that transcends all understanding. That we don't even get it. We don't even understand. This bad stuff's going on. This terrible stuff's going on. But yet, I have peace in God. I have peace. It's what we have a privilege to have by knowing the Lord. In verse 8, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, Apostle Paul, or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." We have to play our part. We have to, peace is not just a magic wand. That's the world. We play our part. But do you notice it's in relationship with God? It's walking out our relationship with God, rightly submitted to Him. This peace that God gives, it will guard our hearts and minds, even in days of trouble. It will. And we can present our request to God. We submit ourselves to Him. And we focus our minds on things above. And we put into practice God's word. We put into practice what God has shown us, what He has taught us, what the Holy Spirit is leading us. We put it into practice. We live it out. And I just suggest with you today, what does your life look? What does your prayer life look like? What does that look like? Day to day, week to week. How you spend time with the Lord. This is important. How do you connect with God? And how you submit yourselves to a king. You know, I don't know about you, but kings don't just give nice suggestions. You know, well, maybe you should, you know, decorate your house this way and put some flowers over here. I mean, he wants to bring order to your life. He wants to bring alignment to your life. And he knows how to do it. He knows what it takes. He's a king, and he rules with justice, peace, love, grace, mercy. And the stuff that he gives giving flows down to us when we align ourselves with him. That's where the problem comes. We want to align ourselves with him. And sometimes our relationship needs to come back to King Jesus. Lord, I bow my knees before you. When was the last time you got on your knees and said, "King Jesus, I submit myself to you. I belong to you. I've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. I'm not my own. I belong to you." When was the last time you were on your knees in prayer? It's possible. You make a place, make a prayer room, make a place where you can get before the Lord. Oh, yes, humble yourself. It's a beautiful thing. Because it actually brings strength to you. Because that strength is coming down from heaven and strengthening and being who you're called to be. Don't go our own ways. So church, let's not go on our own way, our own pathway, trying to find peace any which way. We find it in Him, rightly ordering our lives before Him. I hope you have peace today. We're gonna close with this song, and I was singing it this morning, and I was like, "Lord, I just would love to sing this song." You know it, probably every one of you. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. And get the lyrics. You know the lyrics, but remind yourself today of these lyrics. Is sometimes we have so much in Him, but we're just not accessing it. And we're not living it out. But he says, access it. Because what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in trials and temptations where troubles are, our precious Savior is our refuge. And it says, take it to the Lord in prayer. So I just want to say, can we join together and end this time, the sermon, in worship? Okay, I do believe, do we have the word? I think we have the words for that. And Jim's going to lead us in our time. So would you stand? What a friend we have in Jesus.